It's all about the PTZ for you and me.
The putza.
The putza.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
About 2 seconds before I said it. Came out and I'm going,
the PTZ? Yeah, you know me.
Should I have
the
said
PTZ?
This?
Yeah, you know me.
Okay, so we've already covered the tablet. Now we're talking about the PTZ camera.
Oh.
And this camera, it's been sitting in the studio for a while.
It has
now.
Been here. Sometimes we don't always get to review something right away.
Right.
But here it is. It's from Juan's Cam, and this came to us a little while ago. And we've been using it because it has an intervalometer feature that automatically uploads a picture every moment or
right.
whatever to an FTP server. So that's one of the beautiful features of it.
Yeah.
And so we've been using it to post pictures on our website automatically during a live show.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally wanted to actually review it and show it to you. So this is a...
Ooh, it's metal.
It's metal. It is explosion proof.
Really?
It is tamper-proof and vandal-proof.
Huh.
Suppose someone could spray paint it, but I mean, it is... they're getting it done. It's
wireless.
It does have wireless, other than you're going to need power.
Right.
So, it hangs normally like this on a wall.
Right.
And it can be outside or inside, but it is waterproof, and it is weatherproof and everything else. And it's only $200. Now, okay. When you look at a PTZ camera,
that is
so
good.
When we say PTZ, it is really good. I mean, you think about it, okay, this is a 1080p camera. Okay?
Right.
When you think about that, it's in a metal body, it's cool, you can set it up and set it and forget it, and it's $200, that's a great deal. If
yes.
you look at the price of a good metal chassis surveillance camera, for example, you're going to probably pay $150 to $200 just for that.
Right.
This, being PTZ, means pan, tilt, and zoom. So in software, you can control where the camera's looking. You can zoom in on things.
Right.
So it's perfect for surveillance, but it's also great for things like if you just want to set up a shot and zoom in on something and then let it take pictures, that kind of thing. Like as
right.
a webcam, it's fantastic.
Yes.
Like the craziest webcam ever. Should we take a look?
Yes.
All right. So, I mentioned it does need power. A couple of things that right off the bat are important to note. It does not support PoE out of the box. Okay?
So, okay. power.
But it does have Ethernet. This is something that is not in the specifications. It has Wi-Fi, but it also supports Ethernet. So,
okay.
if you're looking at it and you wonder, oh, I don't want to use Wi-Fi for this. I want to actually hardwire it. Can I do that? Yes. It has an inline Ethernet port. So, that's what we're using
Beautiful.
Tonight to try it. And it has a 12-volt power input. So, being that there is a 12-volt okay. power input right next to the Ethernet, even though it does not support power over Ethernet, you can buy little adapters. So, we tried that. So we picked up a couple of adapters that were for surveillance camera power over Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same kind of thing. It has an Ethernet and it splits out into power.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't fit.
Oh.
Okay. But we were able to pump 12 volts through it, but
That's
it didn't
okay.
fit. So we headed over to the local electronics center that is kind of like the Radio Shack of days gone by.
Right.
And they sell everything. So... we found the jack
okay.
and the plug. And so we created, with my new soldering iron, we created an adapter that now adapted that power over Ethernet with
right.
a little 3-inch cable
okay.
to fit into the Juan's Cam camera.
Oh.
And it works. So we have established, we've created power over Ethernet for it for just a couple of bucks. And that's perfect. So just make sure, though, if you do that, because power over Ethernet can be like 48 volts, you want to make sure that you don't accidentally plug it into a 48-volt port, because you're going to be throwing 48 volts into that, and I don't know what that's going to do.
Right.
It's a 12-volt camera, 2-amp. So
right.
we're just using a standard wall wart power adapter, sending that through the Ethernet cable and splitting it out at the end, and there you go.
Bob's uncle.
Mm-hmm. So specification-wise, it's plug and play. So I plugged it in tonight thinking I was going to have to do some setup, and I didn't. It worked. The router okay. found it, DHCP, gave it an IP address, and I was like, whoa, I can actually do this.
Now, what if you've got a password-protected Wi-Fi?
Oh, you will. Oh, well, to set it up on Wi-Fi, yes. You would.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But it does support, like Wi-Fi automatic detection and things
gotcha,
like
okay.
So you can
right.
do, like, what do you call that, the mm-hmm. Wi-Fi, I don't know, What's the button on your router called?
Sync?
No. We'll go with that, though. Somebody in the chat will fill us in on what that's called. It's got 1080p video, but it is and it's up to 25 frames a second, but it has three simultaneous feeds coming out of it at all times. So
three.
So 1080p, and then you can set the other two resolutions to lower resolution. And that's pretty typical of an IP camera, so that you can use a low resolution for, say, surveillance, and then a high resolution for video broadcasting or something like that.
Right.
Okay. So it goes up to 1080p, and then you've got two other resolutions to deal with as well. It has a 2.8 to 12 millimeter lens for our photography fans out there with 5x optical zoom. Let's actually get in on this so that you can see it a little bit better. There you go. So this is what she looks like. And that is optical zoom lens, which is exactly what you need, because with digital zoom, it's going to be very grainy. This is what you see when somebody breaks into a local shop. Right. And then the police post on their Twitter account, here's a picture of the person, and it's just a bunch of blocks, and you can't understand what you're looking at.
Right.
That's because they've used digital zoom. Now, this is optical zoom, so you can get in there 5x. It's like a telescope, right?
Right.
So it's very, very clear, crystal clear, in fact, full 1080p, even zoomed in.
And so it no longer looks like Steve from Minecraft was the one who robbed your store.
There you go. At least then you could track him down.
That's right.
Yeah. As Jeff mentioned, it's got 802.11 and it's BGN wireless.
Oh, it is N.
Yep. So okay. if you want to just set it up and just power it from an outlet, you can use Wi-Fi to do it. So you don't have to run any cables to it or anything. Just plug it into an outlet and you're good to go.
Okay.
It has night vision. As you can see,
that was my biggest question.
Oh.
Yeah. If I had night vision.
Yes. So there it is. I know we're a little bit out of focus. This is autofocus on this camera. I'm going to just cover the night vision sensor.
Oh,
and you
okay.
can see that the night vision LEDs have come on. So there are 6 high-powered LEDs, and they're quick to come on, quick to turn off. And that works really well as well.
Right.
So when the lights are off, it automatically turns those on and switches to night vision.
What is the range for night vision? Do you know?
That I do not know.
Okay.
Specifications will probably be online, but in any room that I've plugged it into, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
As far as field of view, perfect. Once you get out around the edges, you start to get some vignetting.
Well,
obviously,
yeah.
You're not going to have the LEDs pumping out on the edges,
right?
But it works really well in the line of sight, at least. So
that's good, because I know security cameras that I've installed in the past that have night vision.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, it's good for like 30 feet, but 30 feet out, you can't really see anything. It's like, God, did I just see a ghost? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, and
it's
unless
useless
you,
when it's like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unless you get with like within 5 feet of it, and then the body glows.
Mm-hmm.
Because just that sensor isn't quite right, and that's been on cheaper night vision cameras. So that's exciting that you got a good quality camera with a nice night vision.
Absolutely, and another nice feature, Jeff. You think about, okay, well, what happens if internet goes down?
Mm-hmm.
What if it loses connection to the Wi-Fi or the Ethernet?
Right.
What happens? It has a built-in SD card reader. But it's hidden within the unit. So you can't actually access it. It's like somebody couldn't go up to the camera and take
and
the SD card out. No, you have to take it apart to get to the SD card reader.
Very nice.
You think, oh, well, that's a lot of work to put an SD card in. It supports up to 128 gigs. So what they've done is they've included a 16 gig card in there.
Wow.
So it's already ready. So you can set it to automatically record to the card or automatically take a picture every 5 seconds, and it will automatically save that to the SD card and then roll them over so that if something happened, you can just access them through your browser or unplug the camera and take the SD card out and you're good.
Right.
So I just noticed in this is what I love about the chat room. We're talking in the show, and people in the chat room are like, oh, I'm going to get this over here.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 80 meters infrared.
Oh, thank you. Fantastic. That's really
impressive.
Good. This is impressive all around. Like when I say this is only $200, if you look at PTZ cameras of this grade, you can pay upwards of $1,200 to $2,000.
Yeah.
Usually you're in around the $1,500 range for that kind of thing. So that's why I'm just kind of going through the bullet list of features so that you understand how cool this is. Pan, 355 degrees. Tilt, 90 degrees. So that's like all the way up, down, okay, and then 255 degrees pan. I mentioned it's waterproof. I mentioned ONVIF support. Now, that's important. That's the Open Network Video Interface Forum.
Yes.
They created a protocol to make it so that cameras, it was like a spec for cameras to be able to communicate with hardware.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what it means to us is that with ONVIF, because this camera supports it, as soon as you plug it into your network, your DVR will see it. If you have an ONVIF compliant DVR. If you want to install an ONVIF compatible app on your phone, you can actually bring up the camera and control the PTZ through your phone, through any ONVIF app. That's the thing.
Really?
It's not proprietary. So you're not having to look at this and say, oh, it's a Chinese camera and we're not going to be able to find the right software for it. No. It supports ONVIF. So right. That means it's open. So you can use any ONVIF compatible software.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Cool.
All right, but can it make you breakfast?
Just wait. Yes. Oh, wait. No.
Oh.
But
oh.
When I'm talking about ONVIF, it can even connect to Telestream Wirecast. Okay? Because Telestream Wirecast.
Really?
Yeah, because it uses ONVIF. Now, there is latency, so you're not going to use it as a live cam, per se. But if I just kind of set that right here, and I just switch over like this, then I'm actually looking, and you can see there is latency there, but we can see this is what the camera is. Now, I'm using a lower bit rate here. There you go. So there it is. And we're going to take a real look at how this operates.
I feel like we're like the Beastie Boys or something.
Yeah, that's our album cover right there, folks. Take a screenshot. If you don't have a server for people to be able to use as a webcam, it can support up to 6 simultaneous connections.
Okay.
So that also means 6 apps, 6 different computers connecting to it and streaming.
Right.
And so you don't have to have like a big server environment or anything to use it.
Is there a microphone? Did I miss that?
I don't know if there is. Now, I've seen that there are audio settings, but I've never got audio out of it.
Okay.
Personally.
I truly feel like if you are the sort of person who does a lot of ordering on, you know, Amazon, any of our partner links, and you get things delivered to your house, this should be one of the things that you buy, because I feel like if you had it set up, then you would at least have a picture of
then
something.
Then you can see what's going on.
Awry.
Absolutely. Should we take a look at the interface?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what we see. Now, the camera is... It's on my IP block because it got DHCP from my DHCP server. So I just got that by logging into my router. Now, out of the box, I'm going to type admin to connect.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. And it does nothing. Nothing. Because I'm in Chrome, so I need to allow Flash to run here.
So, okay. So it's Flash-based.
No, it's not Flash-based, but the web interface, in order to see the camera, is using a Flash media player. So add my IP address, 192.168.0.109, and add that. So now if I jump back here and refresh...
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, there you go. So now if you look, can you see my mouse cursor over here? So I can actually control the camera like this. Now I've got it sitting in an odd spot. Because it's meant to be hanging on a wall. It's not meant to be sitting on its butt. So when I click on right, it's actually kind of tilting instead of turning. But I'm going to show you what that looks like. So as I'm clicking around in the software here, I'm just going to click on the automatic calibrate so that you can see the motors actually moving this camera around. Okay. And it's also automatically zooming in and out and things like that. I'm going to show you that in a moment. Let's bring this back over here and jump back to our, let's see, G. There we go. So this is now in the software.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like there is no reason why Dave's not getting this for Christmas.
Ooh. Okay.
This is an expensive show for me.
This is a very expensive show. How dare I show you all these really cool things, right? So it looks great. There is a latency there on Telestream Wirecast, but it is, or at least I'm going ONVIF to the web browser, my mistake. To switch right over to Telestream Wirecast looks like this. So this is directly ONVIF over the Ethernet to Telestream Wirecast.
Right.
This is ONVIF to my laptop. So I currently have 2 simultaneous connections. Okay, so quickly through the settings because I am conscious of time, but I'm going to jump into the settings so that I can show you, because one of the things about these kinds of devices is you get onto these websites like GearBest and you look look at the device, and there's not really good information necessarily right. available, mm-hmm. and they're not made here in the United States of America, so you can't really get that information from...
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you what this is like. Okay. So jumping over to the interface... First screen, I see that there is an SD card inserted, and it is 16 gigs. I can format that. This came with it. I did not install this. Now, let's go into time set. I can set my time zone to NTP, so I can choose an NTP server, which means it's going to automatically set the clock based on the time zone that I select. So I'm going to select Eastern Time, and I'm going to use, let's try time.nist.gov. Automatically adjust clock. What time have we got right now? The clock is actually, it's already correct. So I'm going to hit apply.
So is that just picking it up off your network time?
It may, because I do see an option sync with PC time, but I didn't click on that. But it's possible that it came set properly. But yes, now I've got it set to NTP, so it's going to get it off the internet. Go into video settings. This is where you can see the three different profiles that I was talking about. First profile, resolution is 1920 by 1080 is the default, and you can go down to 720p. Bit rate was defaulted to like 6,000. I turned it down for tonight's demonstration because I didn't want to be maxing out our internal bandwidth. Frame rate, now they set up to 25, but I see up to 30.
Ooh.
Hello! So that's good. I will definitely, I will just set that. Why not? Okay, keyframe interval 60. I'm going to leave that as is. Constant bit rate or variable bit rate. Variable bit rate is going to, if there's not a lot of motion, it's going to use less bandwidth. So leave that active unless you want every single frame to be constant. You can go CBR. That's what that means. Video code quality. The smaller the value, the better the image quality, lower flow, larger flow control. So if you're having trouble with the stream, maybe you want to increase the compression so that it's a smaller stream and not using as much bandwidth. Second stream, you can go 640 by 352, 320 by 176, or D1 or CIF, which are standards used by your DVRs for surveillance purposes. And again, that does look like it goes up to 30 frames a second, and you can set the variable bit rate. Now, the third stream is not letting me set the resolution. It's set hard to 320 by 176, great for little thumbnails, or if you just want to keep an eye on things on your phone and use very little bandwidth. That's cool. On-screen display time, on-screen camera name, and what I want the camera name to be. So if you look at the camera here, I'm going to jump back to Telestream Wirecast. You see IP camera up at the top left. So I'm going to turn off on-screen display time and on-screen display name. So I've just unchecked those, and then I'm going to click on apply. So if I jump back here to the camera, hit apply. Let's see if, oh, and it says frame rates. Oh, it does say the frame rate is over 25. So it is, in fact, hard set to 25. So let's fix that. Good to know, right? I mean, we saw it there. Don't want to make the assumption. Okay, so now apply and jump back to our camera. And you see that it's now clean output. How do you like that, right? Okay, next screen here. We've got audio settings. See, Jeff? But I don't know where, audio type, G711. Now, these are standards for surveillance systems. So I guess you'd have to buy like a surveillance microphone.
Okay.
So these options, I don't know. I don't ever use on-camera microphones ever.
Right.
But those are the options that are there. Audio output for the third stream and second stream. Input options are line in or mic. And then you've got the volume controls as well.
Good times.
Record settings, I can automatically record at certain times of the day. So if I want
the scheduler.
To. Yeah. It does not look like it has motion sensing, but it will allow me to record based on a time. Now you notice too, you can choose which stream you want. So I can record at full 1080p to my SD card, or I can tune it down and use less space, get more recordings by using the second stream. Or if you're crazy and you just want a thumbnail size thing, you can do the third stream. Automatically email yourself. With pictures, it will actually take a picture and send it to you. And it has SMTP settings here. You can set the port, so that's good. Safe link. You can actually use encryption, so that's good. Looks like it'll support pretty much anything that you want to throw at it. So if you want to set up Gmail to be your SMTP server, that's good. This is what I love is the FTP intervalometer. So you can set your FTP address, and username and password, and tell it where you want to store it, and it will automatically upload a picture from the camera at the interval that we set in the software.
Okay.
Huh.
So full 1080p picture. Boom. Up on the server. I love that. Great. That, I should say, is perfect, not just for, don't think about surveillance for that, but as a webcam.
Yeah,
being
absolutely.
Able to take a picture every, tell it, take a picture every 5 seconds, put it on my FTP, and then just link to the latest picture every time and just have JavaScript or jQuery refresh the image.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? All right, so system log. There's my log. You can see that the RTM to RTSP connected. That's the ONVIF. Network settings. This is where you can set whether you want DHCP or fixed IP, where you want to get your IP, DNS, what ports you want to use, RTSP port for the server. And remember, the server's built in. That's brilliant. Wireless, that's your Wi-Fi, Jeff. So that's where you're going to get it.
Right.
You can set it up here. You can presumably search for nearby networks. But you're going to know your network ID. It doesn't seem to detect ours, but it may be hidden. Let's see. Okay, DDNS, that's cool. So that means you can have like a .com and use DNS settings to automatically reroute the traffic. Cool. Cruise laps, that is for PTZ. When you first turn it on, it's going to move around through the settings, like the pan, tilt, zoom is going to move around. How fast you want it to be, whether you want it to center after the self-check. That's what I meant. That's the self-check, how many times you want it to lap. And then close the alarm while PTZ movement. That one I'm not familiar with. I don't know what that is. We can guess. Close the alarm. Maybe it has connections to the DVR or something like that. That one I don't know. Okay, user settings. Those are your users to log into the interface. You're going to want to change those. What you want to do, factory reboot, upgrade the firmware, and all that kind of stuff. I've never done it. ONVIF is on by default, so I was able to pull it into Telestream Wirecast, no problem. And then you can set these settings as needed. Auto-snap, Sasha, this is where we tell it, hey, we want to take a picture every 60 seconds, and we want to save a picture to the FTP every 60 seconds, or to the card. So I can set that to every 10 seconds, and I can upload it to FTP, just like that.
Okay.
And then that's it. That's it. So there we go. So that's the interface that comes with it. Now we've got brightness controls and everything else over here. So I said that there's pan, tilt, zoom. I showed you the pan and tilt. That's exciting, but where's the zoom, right? This web browser interface, I don't see it anywhere.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a program called ONVIF Device Manager. It's a free download. You can install it on any Windows system. Now that's just, again, this is just one piece of software that I'm using because I'm on Windows. You can use any ONVIF software. So you see that it's already detected the camera. Now, if I click on PTZ control, it's going to time out. You notice that there's no picture, and that's because I have not logged in with the camera's username and password. So I need to, up here, admin is the default, log in. Now, when I go to that camera, it's going to log in, and I can go PTZ control, and I'm actually going to see the camera itself. And there's very little latency in that version. That's pretty cool. So I've got, I can move up and down. I can set presets over on the left-hand side here, which is great if you want to set different zones. And then, ready for it?
Yep.
Zoom.
Ooh, look at that.
Zooming in on my shoulder.
Very nice shoulder, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very TV worthy.
So there you go. So there's our zoom.
Now, you mentioned about doing the firmware update. One of the questions we had from the chat room is, how often do they do firmware updates?
No idea, because I've never done it.
Oh, okay.
And it's worked out of the box perfectly fine for me.
Excellent.
It's operating behind my firewall, so I control whether it has outside access or not and how it accesses things.
Mm-hmm.
It supports TLS over SMTP, so Smart TLS. And so,
all right.
I don't know how often they release firmwares because I've never looked for one. But you can search for that. But how's that for $200?
That's not bad.
Amazing for
$200. I like it.
Wow, folks. It slices, it dices, it makes lasagna. It's a PTZ camera from cat5.tv/PTZ.
Yeah, you know me.